Chapter 3. I trotted behind Narcosis, clutching the papers and trying to think bearded and fat. The guards were ignoring us, watching instead with sadistic fascination as one of their numbers started to close the watertight door.
Wait,
the colonel said, opening a small box and taking out a cartridge. He looked up as I passed, stared me straight in the face. I felt perspiration bursting from my pores. The momentary glance must have lasted about a subjective hour. Then he kept on turning and called out to the guard.
Open that again, you idiot. I load the gun, then you close the door. When that has been done, this business will be over with once and for all.
We turned a corner, and the noxious group vanished from sight behind us. Silently, as ordered, I followed the lawyer through many a guarded portal, into an elevator, out of it, and then through one final door, escaping the mint at last, letting out a great sigh of relief as we went past the armed guards and headed for the waiting ground car. I
silence into the car, speak to me in the office about a salary raise, not before.
Narcosis must know things that I didn't. Detector bugs in the ornamental trees we were passing. Acoustic microphones aimed our way. I realized now that my carefully planned crime had apparently been a disaster from the moment I had conceived it. The driver was silent as a tomb, and about as attractive. I watched the buildings stream by, then the outskirts of the city appeared. We drove on until we reached a small building in a leafy suburb. The front door opened as we approached, then closed behind us, apparently without human intervention. The same thing happened to the inner door, which was tastefully labeled with jewel-studded gold letters, Pederasis Narcosis, Attorney at Law. It closed silently, and I wheeled about and pointed a menacing finger at him.
You knew about me even before I landed on this planet.
Of course, as soon as your false credentials were filed, the investigation began.
So you stood by and let me plot and plan and commit a crime and get sentenced to death without making any attempt to interfere?
That's right.
That's criminal. More of a crime than my crime.
Not really. You were always going to be plucked out of that terminal swimming pool in any case. We just wanted to see how well you did.
How did I do?
Very good for a lad your age. You got the job.
Well, good for me. But what about my double? The bloke who took my place?
That bloke, as you refer to him, is one of the finest and most expensive humanoid robots that money can afford. Which money will not be wasted since the doctor who is now performing the post-mortem is in our pay. The incident is closed.
Wonderful, I sighed, dropping limply onto the couch.
Look, can I get a drink? It has been a long day. No spirits, however. A beer will do fine.
A capital idea. I will join you.
A tiny but well-stocked bar unfolded from one wall. The dispenser produced two chilled brews. I gulped and smacked.
Excellent. If I have only 30 days to go, shouldn't you be telling me about what you want me to do?
In good time,
he said, sitting down across from me.
Captain Verard asked me to send his regards, and to convey the message that he knew you were lying when you promised to give up a life of crime.
So he had me watched.
You're catching on. After this last criminal assignment for us, you will become an honest man. Or else.
Who are you to talk? I sneered and drained the glass. A crooked shyster who is theoretically paid to uphold the law. Yet you stand by and let the thugs here on Pascagnac pass legislation to have trials after an execution. Then you employ a criminal to commit a criminal act. Not what I would call sincerely law-abiding.
First,
he said, lifting a finger in a very legalistic way,
we have never condoned the secret law in the Mint. It was only recently produced by the overly paranoid management here. Yours was the first arrest, and will be the last. There have been numerous job replacements already. Secondly,
another finger rose to join the first.
The League has never condoned violence or criminal acts. This is the first occurrence and has been produced by an unusual series of circumstances. After great deliberation, the decision was made to do it just this one time and never again.
Millions might believe that,
I sneered disbelievingly.
Isn't it time you told me what the job is?
No, because I don't know myself. My vote was cast against this entire operation, so I have been included out. Professor Van Diver will brief you.
But what about the 30-day poison?
You will be contacted on the 29th day. He stood up and went to the door. It is against my principles to wish you good luck. This was his puritanical pontificatory exit line, because as he went out, an elderly type with a white beard and a monocle entered. Professor Vandiver, I presume?
Indeed,
he said, extending a damp, limp hand for me to shake.
You must be the volunteer with the nom de guerre of Jim, about whose presence I was informed. Who would await me here? It was very good of you to undertake what can only be called a rather diligent and difficult assignment.
Rather, I intoned, falling into his academic mode of speech. Is there any remote possibility that I might be informed of the nature of this assignment?
Of course. I have the requisite authorities to provide augmentative information to you concerning the history and tragic circumstance of the loss. Another individual, who shall be nameless, will supply the assistance that you will require. I shall begin with the circumstances that occurred a little over 20 years ago.
A beer. I must have refreshment. Will you join me?
I abstain from all alcoholic and caffeine-containing beverages.
He glared at me glassily through his menacing monocle as I refilled my mug. I sipped and sat and waved him into action. His voice washed over me in turgid waves and soon had me half asleep, but the content of his talk woke me up fast enough. He went on far too long, with far too many digressions, but despite this, it was fascinating stuff to listen to. A stripped-down version wouldn't have been half as much fun for him, and would have taken only a few minutes to tell. Simply, Galaxia Universitato had sent an expedition to a reported archaeological site on a distant world, where they had uncovered an artifact of non-human origin. "You must be kidding," I said. "Mankind has explored a great part of the galaxy in the last 32,000 years, and no trace of an alien race has ever been found." He sniffed loudly.
"I do not kid, as you say in your simple demotic. I have pictorial proof here, photographs sent back by the expedition. The artifact was uncovered in a stratum at least 1,000,000 years old and resembles nothing in any database existent in the known universe."
He took a print from his inner pocket and passed it over to me. I took it and looked at it, then turned it around since there was no indication of which was top or bottom. A twisted hunk of incongruous angles and forms, resembling nothing I had ever seen before. "It looks alien enough to be alien," I said. Looking at it was beginning to hurt my eyes, so I dropped it onto the table. "What does it do? Or what is it made of, or whatever?"
"I haven't the slightest idea, since it was never conveyed to the university. It was, I must say, interrupted in its journey. And it is essential that it be recovered."
"Pretty sloppy way to handle the only alien artifact in the universe."
"That is beyond the scope of my authority, and not for me to say. But I am authorized to unperfunctorily predicate that it must be found and returned, at any cost, which sums I am duly authorized to pay. Officers of the Galactic League have assured me that you, pseudonymous Jim, have volunteered to find and return the artifact. They have convinced me that you, as young as you are a specialist in these matters. I can only wish you the best of luck, and look forward to meeting you again when you return with that which we desire the most."
He exited then, and a bald, uniformed naval officer entered in his place, closed the door and glared at me with a steely gaze. I glared back. "Are you the one who is finally going to tell me what is going on?" I asked.
"Damn right," he growled. "Damn fool idea, but the only one we have going. I'm Admiral Benbow, head of League Navy Security. Those dumbhead academics let the most priceless object in the universe slip through their fingers. Now we have to pick up the pieces and run with the ball."
The Admiral's mixed metaphors were as bad as the professor's academies. Was clear speaking becoming a lost art? "Come on," I said. "Simply tell me what happened and what I am supposed to do."
"Right."
He slammed down into a chair.
"If that is a beer, I'll have one, too. No, I won't. A double. No, a treble. High-octane whiskey. No ice. Do it."
The robo-bar supplied our drinks. He drained his while I was just lifting mine.
"Now hear this. The expedition concerned was returning from their planetary dig when their ship experienced communication difficulties. Worried about navigation, they landed on the nearest planet, which unhappily and tragically turned out to be Leo Kuki.
Why unhappily and tragically?
Shut up and listen. We got them and their ship back relatively intact, but without the artifact. For certain reasons, we could do no more. That is why your services have been engaged.
So now you are going to tell me about those certain reasons. He coughed and looked away, stood and refilled his glass before speaking again. If I didn't know better, I would have said that the seasoned old space dog was embarrassed.
You have to understand that keeping the galactic peace is our role and our goal. This is not always possible. There are sometimes individuals, even groups, that are impervious to our attentions. Violent people, some apparently incurably insane, obnoxious. Despite everything that we can do, they remain immune to our blandishments, impervious to our help.
He gulped down the dregs, and I had the feeling that we were finally getting to the truth.
Since we cannot kill them, we... And you realize only the highest authorities know what I am about to tell you. We, so to speak, arrange, see to it that they are, well, transported to Leo Kuki to live the sort of life they prefer to live, without endangering the peaceful cultures of the Union.
A galactic garbage dump! I cried aloud. Were you holier-than-thou bigot sweep your failures under the carpet? No wonder you keep this a top-secret secret.
Just knock off the superior attitude, Kegel degrees. I know your record, and in my book it stinks. But we have you by the short and curlies since you drank the 720-hour poison, so you will do just as I say. So now I'm going to fill you in with all the loathsome details, re Leo Kuki, let you see what information we have. Then you will come up with a plan for getting that thing back. You have no choice.
Thanks. What resources do I have?
Limitless resources, unrestricted funds, boundless support. Every planet in the galaxy contributes to Galaxia Universitato. They have so many credits that they make the super rich look super poor. I want you to take them to the cleaners.
Now you are talking my language. For the first time, I have some interest in this poisonous project. Bring on the records and some food, and I will see what I can do. Not very much, I thought to myself after hours of reading and rereading the thin file, while eating a number of stale and tasteless sandwiches. The Admiral was slumped asleep in the armchair and snoring like a rocket exhaust. There were no answers here, so some questions were very much in order, which gave me the sweet pleasure of waking him up. A few good shakes did it, and those nasty little red eyes glared into mine.
You better have a good reason for that.
I do. How much do you personally know about Leo Kuki?
Everything, you dimwit. That is why I'm here.
It seems to be pretty tightly sealed up.
Pretty tightly is not the way I would describe it. Hermetically sealed, guarded, patrolled, watched, locked tight, quarantined. Take your pick. Food and medicines are shipped in. Nothing comes out.
Do they have their own doctors?
No. Medical teams are stationed there in the hospital inside the landing station, which is built like a fortress. And before you even ask, the answer is no. What little trust there is between the Navy and the Leo Kukiers involves the medical services. They come to us, and we treat them. Let them suspect for an instant that the medicos are involved in hanky-panky and the trust is gone. Disease and death would be certain. We're not taking a chance on that.
If the rest of the civilized galaxy doesn't know about them, what do they know about us?
Everything, I suppose. We do not practice censorship. We transmit all the usual TV entertainment channels as well as educational and news services. They are well supplied with television receivers and can watch reruns of all the most loathsome programs and series. The theory being if we can stun their minds with televised crap, they won't get up to more trouble.
Does it work?
Possibly. But we do know that they are rated on top of the galactic viewing scale for uninterrupted hours in front of the Gogglebox.
You go there and take surveys?
Don't be stupid. Recorders are sealed into the chassis of each set. These can be tapped by satellite.
So what we have here is a planet of murderous, belligerent, nutsy TV fans.
That's about the size of it.
I jumped to my feet, spilling dry crumbs of dead sandwiches onto the carpet, raised my fists and my voice on high. That's it! Benbow blinked at me rapidly and scowled.
What's it?
The answer! It is just the glimmering of an idea now, but I know that it will grow and expand into something incredible. I'm going to sleep on it, and when I awake, I will polish it and perfect it and describe it to you in detail. What is it?
Don't be greedy. All in good time.